And welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here, as always. Austin Farley is out tonight. He will be back with me tomorrow. And we're covering the Confederate Parks issue here, and really the Confederacy in general, because it's a hot-button issue, and we've gotten a lot of listener emails and phone calls and things of that nature on this issue. We've got a surprise guest for you tonight. It wasn't advertised that he would be on tonight, but I'm here with author. He's written three books, including the latest, Why Johnny Can't Think, America's Professor Priesthood. He was a Capitol Hill senior staffer, a Reagan appointee, a radio host himself, a good friend, and our all-time highest-rated show, according to our Internet statistics, Bob Whitaker. Bob, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Why is it Austin always disappears every time I show up?
Hey, I guess he smells you coming. I don't know what it is, but he was out tonight on family business. And
a likely story.
Yeah. But I know you're up to date through our email list and other things about what's going on here, and I wanted to talk to you about it, so I'm glad you called in. The Confederate Parks here, you know, we've been covering it tonight pretty extensively. There's a guy here, and we were covering it with J.D. a second ago. You know, he just doesn't understand history. They're rewriting it, and they want to change the names of these Confederate parks. Well, you know, first of all, I want to get your perspective on this.
Well, let me give you my first perspective.
Go ahead, and then I got some questions for you.
All right. Remember, these leftists, see, I remember Vietnam. And I remember these leftists treated, were the first generation of Americans who ever treated American veterans like a bunch of dogs.
Right.
When they came back from Vietnam, we'd lost the war, and they were treated like dogs because they lost the war, and these guys didn't approve of it. Now, that didn't happen in the South. We didn't, nobody, nowhere in the South were returning veterans treated like dogs.
Right,
from Vietnam. But those who didn't approve of the war took it out on the soldiers in other parts of the country. We never did that with our Confederate soldiers. We honored them because they thought what they thought was right. They got shot at just like anybody else. They made enormous sacrifices. We honored them.
Absolutely right, and I know I dare to speak for you, Bob. They pretty much fought for, you know, self-governance, constitutional republic. They pretty much fought for all of the things we fight for today.
Right.
And
well, first I want to make this point.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That we don't do that in the South. Whether we approve of the war they fought, whether they won it or not, is not the point. The point is that our men fought, and they deserve to be honored. And when you change the name of Confederate Park and that sort of thing, what you're doing is you're doing exactly, and it's Memorial Day, exactly what we did to our men from Vietnam. You're saying they lost the war, I don't approve of the war, I think it's a stupid war, and therefore let's take it out on the troops.
That's a hell of a parallel.
Yeah.
No, that's a great, you know, I've never considered it in that perspective, but I think that would be good. You know, we've organized quite a rally. It's going to be attended by a lot of people when we go to this meeting, which is a public forum, you know, and I think somebody should bring that up, and I'll bring it up.
I think we should have grown out of that with the Vietnam experience.
Yeah, but apparently, well, this goes to a whole other level. I mean, Vietnam was bad enough. This is that as well, on top of that they are rewriting history to say that this is what the South really fought for. Be damned what they say they fought for.
Yeah.
But and we talked about that with our last guest. You know, forget what Lincoln said about slavery and how the North really felt about it. But this is how the South felt about it. Just don't believe it. They were lying about it. You know.
Well, that's part of it. And the other part of it is, so what? the men who fought for the Confederacy fought. A damn few of them owned slaves. In fact, you could get an exemption from military service if you owned 20 slaves.
Right. There you go.
And the men who went down in the, when we went to Charleston to talk about the CSS Huntley, the men who went down in that didn't own any slaves.
Well,
they were fighting for their country.
I would say upwards of 95%, if not 100%.
You know, like you said, you could get an exemption if you did, so it wasn't about
well,
that.
Well, Nathan Bedford Forrest sure didn't own any slaves.
Well, there you go. And in fact, you know,
Robert E. Lee had freed his.
Lincoln even said, you know, and of course Lincoln only freed slaves in the South, but, you know, he said he freed them as a tactic of war. He
right.
thought that they would, you know, rebel
but,
against
But
the
you're war. Still, let's go to the first point first, and that is we don't spit on our soldiers. They can lose. We can disapprove of the war, but we don't disapprove of the soldiers.
Absolutely right.
So that's point one, I think, for Memorial Day.
The United States,
I hope, has grown out of spitting. I remember when all the Vietnam soldiers were called baby killers, hired killers, when the Democratic candidate for the presidency this time was saying that they raped and murdered civilians normally. The South never fell for that then. I don't think we should fall for it now.
No, and like I said, I really hadn't considered, you know, I'm a pretty
right.
smart guy, Bob.
Oh, yeah. You're a brilliant man.
But I really hadn't considered it that
yeah.
way. But, you know,
well, very few people do.
You brought up a good point on that, and, you know, I consider a lot of things. But let me ask you this. You're kind of changing pace a little bit. Why are people like this, who I consider, and I don't mind saying this, I said it in the last segment, these are the people that are the true bigots. The bigot is someone who is oblivious to facts and refuses to look at facts.
Right.
So why are these bigots like Walter Bailey, who want to have, and we're going to stop this, you know, I'm confident of that, that we're not going to let them change the names. Why are they intent on denigrating the South? You know, why do they care, and why does it hurt them so much for us to show a little respect to these people?
Well, they want to destroy anything that's not that isn't geared to political correctness. In the South, it's certainly not politically correct.
Right.
Any feeling of, but let me tell you something. I also remember as soon as the Glasnost began to come apart in the Soviet Union,
yeah.
I said, "Well, the prison of nations is going to collapse." And people said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Do read a little history." I said. The Soviet Union is an extension of the Tsarist rule, and they forced all of these people, the Ukrainians, the Estonians, the Latvians, Lithuanians, all those people, together under a totalitarian state run from Moscow.
Right.
When the Soviet Union collapses, it's going to break up. And the liberals absolutely went bananas over the idea. In fact, at first it was considered so ridiculous. And everybody's forgotten this. For a couple of months there, when Ukraine and Estonia and these other countries were talking about breaking away from the Soviet Union, they had cartoons of those leaders singing Dixie in Confederate uniforms.
Yes.
Everybody seems to have forgotten this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the South, you know, the problem is, and a lot of Confederate flags showed up in the demonstrations, too, by the way.
Yeah.
A local paper had to cut out an AP photo of a demonstration because they were fighting the Confederate flag here. They had to cut it out because it had a great big Confederate flag there.
It's
a flag of rebellion. It's a flag of self-determination.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Yeah, and so that's the way they made fun of it. They said it was... the Soviet Union couldn't break up and all these people were silly and they were a bunch of Confederates. Well, it turns out they were. Right now, as a matter of fact, you remember, I don't know if you remember, but the Chinese leader, Chinese communist leader came over to America, one of them, and visited the White House, and he said, if you don't want us to take back Formosa, why do you have Lincoln's picture all over the place?
Yeah. Again, and I'm glad you got that out about the USSR. I mean, that puts it into perspective as well about the rights and the wrongs of this whole thing, and while we aren't the ones that should be vilified. But, you know, let me ask you just this off the cuff, Bob. You know, it's how important is it, or how important should it be? You know, some people say, well, it's over, this, that, and the other. How important is it for our people to go? Even though this isn't a current issue in so much as, you know, something that we can change. I mean, no one can change what happened in that war.
Yeah.
And some people will say this. But how important is it for people like us to go down there and defend this heritage?
Well, it depends.
Is it important?
Now, wait a minute. Now, that depends. What we ended up here was making a compromise.
Right.
That always made my blood run cold when conservatives talk about a compromise. You know, sort of like General Lee made a compromise at Appomattox. But they ended up with this tradition not hate business.
Right.
Now, what you're doing is saying it's a bunch of, we're only talking about dead people. It's tradition. And if we weren't, it'd be hate. Well, that's not true. Neither part of that statement is true. We're fighting here. And now, you say it's a dead issue. It is, if all you're talking about is dead people and a piece of cloth.
Right.
Those men didn't die for a piece of cloth. They didn't die for a park. They died for self-determination for the South. And what we should do is make it a modern issue.
Well, absolutely. I mean, history obviously repeats itself, and we want to go back into a time where, you know, there was some sort of government that mirrored the republic that our founding fathers implemented. But I tell you what, Bob, and I'm just listening to you talk here. When you want to turn it on, and I don't want to blow smoke at you in front of all of our listeners, but you are quite an eloquent wordsmith. Did you know that?
I don't know. It's just a lot of ideas that I sit here wishing that somebody would listen to.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and I'm glad you came on the show tonight because, you know, I have studied and advocated pro-South tenets and why, you know, this, that, and the other should happen and why these people were noble and these people might not have been, you know, all my life. But, and I've known you for a while, but some of the things you brought up tonight has even made me start thinking on a different dimension.
Well, let's make it a modern issue. And the other thing is, stop talking about dead people.
Right.
That's my flag we're talking about, the Confederate flag.
Make it personal.
Personal.
It's
yes.
Got to be personal because here's what it is. You're right. It wasn't, yes, we honor our fallen as we should. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, they fought for an idea. And they fought for ideals that every true American, Southern or Northern, should want this government to reflect.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have a government today that looks more like the central government that Lincoln could have never even imagined in terms of dictatorial powers. And, not so much the one that the people like Patrick Henry advocated for. Mm-hmm. And the people like Patrick Henry were the people who fought.
And he was from Virginia.
Oh, naturally. You know, Virginia, South Carolina, y'all got some good places up there.
But what I'm saying is, when someone says this is tradition, not hate, they're making two incorrect statements. The first is that this is about dead people. Tradition.
Right.
The second is that if it's not about those dead people, it's about hate.
And it's about really, again, honor the dead, yes, that they paid the ultimate sacrifice, but it's not about hate. And it wouldn't be whether we made it a contemporary issue or not.
Well, yes,
and
we
do make it
is. We just got through watching Eastern Europe freeing itself. We're probably going to end up in some kind of confrontation with China over there wanting their South back by force.
Yeah.
Formosa. And yet we're sitting around apologizing and sort of talking about, well, I'm not talking about anything nowadays. I'm for the melting pot, but those were good guys, and that's a nice piece of cloth there.
Yeah, you got to make it personal, and you got to look. And it's okay to be offended. I mean, you're right about compromise, and I'm with you on compromise. You can't. There are some things that you can't compromise, and you can't be all things to all people. You can't please everybody. You got to please your people. You got to please yourself and your family.
And you got to bring it up to date.
That's right. So how do we do that?
Well, first of all, we talk about the principle of self-determination and the fact that foremost, if the North is right, completely right, then we should hand over Formosa or Taiwan to the communists right now. No questions asked.
There you go.
So we have to we should turn over Estonia back to the rightful Soviet Union.
Yeah.
The Union.
But I mean, this is a consistency thing. Now, you know, Bob, our government isn't that consistent. You know, Iran can't get nuclear warheads, but it's okay for North Korea to have them because they've already got them. So we're not gonna mess with them. And you know, as far as China goes, I mean, this is a communist nation. We're supposed to be anti-communist, yet
Well, we don't have enough time to talk about all that.
No, we don't.
Right at this moment, you wanted to talk about the Confederate flag.
That's right.
Many principles there.
I wanted to talk about the consistency of it all.
Right.
But there is no consistency. And you were bringing up the with...
Well, let's hand over from Taiwan immediately.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Let's not be tearing down monuments. Let's just hand over Taiwan.
If we really believe that. But like I said, what I was saying, our government is not consistent, and so they're not going to behave consistently, as you're saying. But that's another good point. Well, let me ask you this. You know, we've got this meeting on June 9th, as we've been really promoting. Obviously, you can't be here. You live in South Carolina. But how should we, give us the Bob Whitaker take on... We're going to have... As of right now, we already have between a dozen and 20 people, and we're just getting started in terms of people who are going to go attend this thing. What should our course of action be as we attend this thing? How would you handle it?
First of all, talk about the veterans in Vietnam.
No, I'm writing that down. I'm taking notes. I'm asking you.
Yeah, okay. You got a phone. You can talk to me.
Yeah, that's
true. Then the relevance of right now. Do we hand Taiwan over to China now?
Right.
If not, then the guys who fought in those gray uniforms had a point. Not only do they deserve honor, but the Confederacy had a point. We just got through watching it happen to the Soviet Union.
Yep.
Now, whether in their time and their place that separation should have taken place, is a whole different question. The point is, the South had a hell of a point here, and we ought to stop talking about dead traditions and stuff.
And start trying to revive some of the tenets.
Let's talk about what they fought for.
Right, reviving the tenets that moved those men so far as that they would secede and pay with their blood to defend those ideas. And those ideas are real.
And the third point is that our tradition, something like the tradition or the Southern tradition. The reason I resent it is because I'm a Southerner. That's part of my background.
You got to make it personal. You can't say these guys is.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody else. This sort of abstract tradition business.
When you talk about that on a lot of issues, you got to make issues personal and let them know.
Right.
If you
insult me as a white man, I'm going to react as a white man.
That's it.
If a black man gets insulted, he doesn't say, well, there's something about the black race. He says, you don't insult me like that and get away with it.
That's right. And obviously they don't.
And I'm with him.
There you go. I mean, double standards. And that's what it is, Bob, more than anything. It's the double standards. It's the political correctness, culture.
Well, we allow it.
And we got to stop it.
Exactly. Put up with it.
As I was saying with our guests before you called in, you know, we have got to stop...
apologize.
Well, I just stop apologizing, yes, number one. But two, we got to let people know, look, we're the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority can be offended, too, and the majority has rights, too. And you don't get to take away our stuff just because we're the majority. No more than, I'll ask you this, too. I mean, you don't see, Bob, a lot of our people going in there, as I told JD, and we don't hold meetings and lobby government to have a rally or say a public forum where people could speak for or against renaming Martin Luther King Park.
Yeah.
We just don't do it. But they do it to us, and it's okay, and it's accepted. And not only that, it's encouraged by the establishment. Because
I have no objection to blacks celebrating their own people. And like I say, I have a lot more respect for a black guy who takes it personally when you insult black people than I do for a white person who starts talking about theoretical weeds.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We got to make it personal. So that's what we do. I know one of your major, bazookas to combat our enemies is laughter. But is this a laughing matter? Should we go in there and just laugh at these guys? Because, you know, they hate laughter. You say that in your book.
Yeah, but depends on the situation. You know, in any battle, you got to look at the front and see what's going on. Right now, with Memorial Day right behind us, maybe we should get a little ticked off.
We should, and this is coming up, It's coming up about a week and a half from now, so it's all going to be fresh on our minds. And
well, let's have a little indignation for a change.
And get a little mad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I think when we first covered this story, Bob, last week, I could barely. I was emotional. I was. Yeah. I was angry. And
we were Southerners.
We got it out. I mean, you're right. This is. Yeah. It's not just my people. It's me.
Yeah.
And it is my people. I mean, you know that I had. This brings me to a funny story. I want to end with a little bit of brevity. You know, I had an ancestor that died at Shiloh. Well, that's my family. That's my blood. Now,
that's right.
I know you, Bob. You have the amazing distinguished. You are the a direct descendant of the only private in the Confederate Army. Is that
yeah,
right?
I have this because I have talked to thousands of people who have Confederate ancestors, and all of them were officers.
That's right.
And mine, it turns out, were privates. And as far as I can tell, the only privates in the entire Confederate Army, and I'm right proud of that. You know?
Bob, when you brought, we were in Charleston together, you know, and we were at the reenactment of the Battle of Charleston, and we were in there. And if anybody wants to see a picture of Bob Whitaker, myself, and Jess Bonds, who fills in regularly on this show, and another one of our friends dressed up in Confederate gear, well, go to Bob's website. He's about to plug it before he tuckers in for the evening. We were all in Confederate gear. You laid that story out, and I almost cracked a gut, you know, because Jess had said, yeah, well, my ancestor was the great cavalry brigadier, whatever he was, you know. And you know, come to think, I've never heard of anybody say, yeah, well, my ancestor was a private.
Well, yeah, mine deserted four times. He walked from Virginia back to South Carolina to plant, and then he walked back to harvest. He didn't have a hell of a lot of slaves, obviously, but he walked all the way back, and a lot of people did that.
Well, you know, they were they had to take care of the family, take care of their homes and fields,
right.
And then go back and fight the battle. I mean, these were patriots, you know.
Yeah,
and that's
it
what
never occurred to them that they were making some sort of unusual sacrifice.
They were going. They went home during the season to plant, went back to the front lines, and if they survived to go back and harvest, they did that. And it's just a good story. But these were real people. They were real men. They weren't haters and bigots.
They were our people.
They were my people, your people.
All right.
And Bob, you and I both sons of Confederate veterans, so to speak. And listen, my friend, thank you for on short notice coming on. I wanted to blow this issue out because we had a lot of feedback on this issue, and I know a lot of people were talking about it that listened to the show, so I wanted to kind of cover it with it being Memorial Day and all.
Okay, well, let's not do to our veterans what the Northern liberals did to theirs in Vietnam. Let's make it personal. And let's remember that win or lose, if you're going to say the Union was entirely right, then that Chinese leader is perfectly correct. We ought to hand over Taiwan to China right now.
Think about that, people, and we're going to bring this up at the meeting. And before Bob Whitaker goes off for the evening, he was on here to talk about this issue tonight, but I tell you what, he has written a great book recently, and he's been on our show twice already. This is actually his third appearance in the Political Cesspool. If you don't have the book, Why Johnny Can't Think, America's Professor Priesthood, trust me, you ought to get it. Bob, just very quickly, lay out a 10, 15, 30-second synopsis of what the book is.
That's a little hard to do, but it's basically laughing laughing at professors, laughing at, and at the same time pointing out that they're just why the universities are so screwed up. It's a runaway bureaucracy that's self-contained, professors select each other, and it's ruining our younger generation. And it's rather obvious. There's nothing underhanded about it. It's at readbob.com, readbob.com, readbob.com.
And I'll tell you this, if anybody listening to this program right now, we know you're out there that hasn't heard or read the book yet, it's a heck of a book.
It's a short book. It's written to entertain you. I think it is definitely, you will say, an enjoyable book. It's not a heavy read.
It's big
short.
Print. Say your line.
Oh, yeah. It's, as we say in Pontiac, South Carolina, it's short, it's big print, and it won't make your lips start.
That's it right there.
Readbob.com.
www.readbob.com. You can get this book. I highly recommend it. And I'll tell you one more thing before you go, Bob. Anybody out there, they haven't been on vacation till they've been on vacation with Bob Whitaker. If you ought to open up a tour, a travel agency, and let people just hang out with you, because you're a riot. And I look forward to working with you on down the line. I'm sure we'll talk again really soon. Thanks for taking the time.
Get your partner in there next time I come on.
He was on here the last time you were in here.
Was he?
He was. The second time you were on, he was in here. The first time, and then tonight he wasn't. But
all right. When you get my age, you don't see good, you don't hear good, and you don't smell good. So.
He was here the second time. But listen, readbob.com, check it out. Our guest right now is Bob Whitaker. Bob, take care. I'm sure I'll talk to you on email probably tonight.
Be good.
You too, my friend. With that, with Bob Whitaker, we're going to take our next break. Again, you're listening to The Political Cesspool here on AM 1380, WLRM, here in Memphis. We're here every Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And you can catch us right now and every weeknight during our normal broadcast hours at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And you can catch our archives also there. A lot of information about the show there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's about to be kind of refurbished a little bit and made a little more contemporary. We're syndicated overnight on the American Voice Radio Network. We've got one more segment coming up tonight. Our guests for the evening have been J.D. Jones, chairman of the America First Party Tennessee, and we just got off the phone with a surprise guest for you tonight, my good friend and one of our favorite interviews, Bob Whitaker. And we were talking about the Confederate issue with Bob, but he's also written a brand new book that you need to read, and you can get that at readbob.com, www.readbob.com. With that, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back right after this in The Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Austin Farley.